The Fleischman Feast Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Valley.
This is Rudy Valley and Company. During the next 59 minutes, we shall offer, subject to your approval, a radio music hall review with a cast which includes, for comedy,
Tom Howard with George Sheldon in a famous Greenwich Village Folly sketch, No News, and Bobby Gilbert, the man with the talking fiddle.
For drama,
Miss Dorothy Gish with Dino Nardi in a romantic scene from Autumn Crocus.
For song,
the Ukrainian National Choir, directed by Alexander Koshet, one of the world's finest choral ensembles. Miss Zora Lehman with Frank Luther in a radio version of her record sensation, 7 Years with the Wrong Man.
And for dancing or plain armchair listening, if you like, the Connecticut Yankees.
Some girls are quickly forgotten and gone with the dawn of a day. But some you remember like last glowing embers haunting your memory and a dream. For I'm just a vagabond lover in search of a sweetheart, it seems. And I know that someday I'll discover her, the girl of my vagabond dreams. Someday I'll find that someone, wondering what the future will reveal. For some girls are quickly forgotten and gone with the dawn of the day. But some you remember like last glowing embers haunting your memory and a dream. For I'm just a vagabond lover in search of a sweetheart, it seems. And I know that someday I'll discover her, the girl of my vagabond dreams.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest this evening is a young comedian who has recently...
Hey, wait a minute.
What's the idea of breaking in like this? Now, get away from here. As I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, didn't I tell you to get out of here?
Yeah, you did, but I come in here to find out, are you Mr. Wallace?
No, I'm not Mr. Valley.
Oh, you're not?
I'm Mr. Wallington.
Oh, Mr. Wallingford. Well, you're the man I want to talk to anyhow. You see, I come out here to ask you if maybe you'll give me an opportunity to doing something over the head.
An opportunity. Say, yeah. Who are you?
I beg your pardon?
Who are you?
You couldn't guess in 1,000 years who I am.
All right, who are you?
I'm telling you, you can't guess in 1,000,000 years who I am.
All right, I give up. Who are you?
I'm a Connecticut Yankee.
I know, but what's that got to do with it?
I beg your pardon?
What has that to do with it?
I'm also a musician.
Oh.
You see, and I'm playing a fiddle.
I see. You play a violin.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you an opportunity. What are you going to play?
The fiddle.
I know, but I mean, what song are you going to play?
Oh, what song?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I know an awful lot of songs, but I got one song that'll tickle you skinny. It's a big heat. It's in the hair.
Whose hair?
No. I mean all of the people I would sing that, you know.
All right. What's the name of the song?
The song is the Turkey with the Straw, you know.
You mean Turkey in the Straw, don't
Yes,
you?
Yeah, Turkey in the Straw, yes.
Oh, straw.
Yes, straw. Now you got me talking like that. Well, anyhow, with all say with you, Mr. Wallenstein, I would like to play this particular song like the different people from all over the world, the people from the world, the people.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. What you mean is you want to play the Turkey in the Straw as it would be played by different fiddlers all over the world. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll start with the Yankee, all right?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, but could you please give me a little bit of consistency?
What?
Help in the band. I'll listen to how they want.
Okay. Boys, some consistency, please.
Yeah, the Yankee. The Yankee. And then the German boys.
That ought to be easy for you.
Yeah, No. You got me mixed up with somebody else.
Right? Yeah, Rubinoff, perhaps.
Yeah, I'll take a second. Like a bullfight, I guess. Oh, and then...
And then...
And then...
And then...
And then the Jewish people. The pleasures. I'd be.
Well, I think that was okay. What are you going to play next?
I
see you make the fiddle talk, eh? What did you say?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. I see. Well, suppose you play some jazz. Some jazz. Oh, come on. Is that all that you can say? I don't want to and I don't know? All right, suppose you recite something. I said recite something. What are you going to recite? Well, suppose you recite Mary Had Little Lamb. All right. All right. All right. Don't you never do that again. Oh, maybe you'd better recite Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Happiness to everything, as love goes.
with his English orchestra, whose music is the preference of London society, again proves himself a most talented composer. I was privileged to rewrite for America his original theme of Goodnight, Sweetheart, and now he provides a most delightful musical spot for our program in his composition, Love is the Sweetest Thing. Voices under the direction of a great musician, Alexander Kosher. Concert audiences in 17 countries have heard them during the past 10 years. Accepted critical authorities in all the world's music centers agree in ranking them with the finest call groups anywhere. Ukrainian National Choir.
Will you then believe me?
Oh, then, oh, then.
Down over here, time to play piano. Come on, caress that old clavier. Somewhere every night, Goofy's in that old limelight. Men surround him, women hound him. He's a musical racketeer. He'll play that old Stratton ball or any new tune at all. Someday he'll pack Carnegie Hall. He hasn't studied music, he doesn't know his notes, but you should hear young Goofy here. Plays piano and he plays by ear. He's just a slave to music. No time to sow his oats. Can't help but cheer when Goofy here plays piano as he plays by ear. They make a fuss over him. Does he make dough? Oh, then it's no wonder he's so temperamental. He needs a longer keyboard. They'll build him one, no fear. Oh, you should hear young Goofy here plays piano and he plays by ear. Right in the middle of his Bach, he'll switch to the Rhapsody in Blue. Then for a little bit of Rachmaninoff, that's your cue. Say, lay off that highbrow, we'll have no more know-how. Then watch Goofy show how he can go lowbrow.
From
someone who's serious. Oh, you love me. You know you do. That's a sure sign. I can safely say I'll have my way. You're mine.
Two heartfelt numbers in a row. This certainly speaks well for my favorite writer of novelties and outstanding songs. Hermes decided there had been enough songs of the modest, appealing, unhappy type in which the lover protests his or her love, and thus we find him writing in the most egotistical vein, as he almost patronizingly has the lover saying, "You love me."
Oh, you love me. You know you do. That's a sure sign. I can safely say I'll have my way. You're mine.
You are listening to the Fleischman's East Hour, directed by Rudy Valley, who presents Bobby Gilbert, the Ukrainian National Choir, Dorothy Gish, Dino Nardi, Tom Howard, Zora Lehman, and Frank Luther.
Presenting Miss Zora Lehman and Frank Luther in person in a radio adaptation of Miss Lehman's recent recording, or record, currently the national best-selling record, entitled 7 Years with the Wrong Man. The song is a hilly-dilly lament. The scene, a courtroom in Zanzibar Hill. The prisoner, Mr. Luther, is charged with disturbing the peace.
Order! Order! The prisoner will kindly refrain from chewing tobacco in the presence of this court. Thank you, sir. Now, sir, according to the testimony before this court, you, Lemuel Jackson, did willfully and with deliberate malicious intent strike your wife, Sarah Jackson, over the head with a stovepipe. That true, Lem?
What's that, Judge?
Lem, did you hit Sarah with a stovepipe?
Law's made, Judge. She hit me first with the stove.
Order! Jim, how long you all been married?
7 years, Judge. 7 long years. Take it.
Can you give the court any extenuating circumstances as to why you hit your wife with a stovepipe?
Yes, Judge, it's this way. 7 years with the wrong woman is more than a man can stand. 7 years with the wrong woman will wreck most any good name. When you marry the wrong woman, there's only one thing you can do. Go dig you a hole and crawl in that hole and pull a hole in after you. Now, boys, if you're thinking of marriage, take warning to what I tell. You take out and run like 16 when you hear a wedding bell. 7 years with the wrong woman will age you and turn your hair gray. They say love is blind, but search till you find a face you can stand every day.
I'll tell you, I heard what he said. Where's he at?
Order!
Order! Ah, Lordy, where's that on me cussing them, Jackson?
Your husband, madam, appears to have run like all get out off in these premises. Trying to state your business with his coat.
I want a divorce. And I'm a-getting it, too. Ain't nobody gonna stop me.
Adam, you'll kindly refrain from giving this coat any of your lips. We heard your husband's side of his case. We're ready to hear what you have to say.
Judge, sir, this way. 7 years to the wrong man is a long time to live. 7 years to the wrong man who could take but not give. If I had my druthers, girls, you'll understand. I'd rather be single than to have the wrong man. In summer I fooled him when he felt the heat. In winter I warmed him, warmed his icy feet. With only a headache, he'd groan and he'd cry. If men had women's troubles, most of them would die. Girls, why are we saving for some no good man? They've had the same habits ever since time began. Girls, they'll drive you crazy. Put your mind in a box. You can find more real friendship in owning a dog. 7 years with a wrong man is a long time to dwell. 7 years with a wrong man is like living in hell. Maybe somewhere there's good men that's hanging around. Only good men that I know are under 6 foot of ground.
It might never have occurred to you, but I too have my favorite singer. He is a young man whose work I admired as early as 1927. I first came to New York to seek my fortune. As one of Paul Whiteman's rhythm boys, he stopped the show at a private party I attended in Baltimore when he sang Montmartre Road. It was quite evident that evening that he was quite unaware of the fact that he was someday going to be an outstanding star on his own individual merit. I have been predicting it ever since, and no one is happier than I to see his dreams of success come true. Just in fun, I'd like to give you my impression, sort of a caricature, of Bing Crosby's unusual style. Learn to prove, if you want to win your heart's desire, sweet melodies of love inspire all. Just boom, 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 boom. Now what when you do? She'll mama da dee 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 dee. And nestle closer to you. Then boom, you'll eliminate each rival soon. If you're heading for a sunny honeymoon, learn to prove. Please, lend your little ear to my plea. Lend a rich ear to my plea. Tell me that you love me too. Please, let me hold you tight in my arms. I could find delight in your charm. Every night my whole life through. You'll eliminate each one.
will soon. If you're heading for a sunny honeymoon, learn to
We present now Miss Dorothy Gish. Miss Gish offers a scene from the play in which she appeared with Francis Lederer on Broadway last season, Autumn Crocus, by C.L. Anthony. Her leading man tonight is Dino Nardi, a young European actor of prominence on the continental stage who last year played the leading role in Strictly Dishonorable. Miss Dorothy Gish and Mr. Dino Nardi in Autumn Crocus.
He is young. She is not so young. He is a romantic proprietor of a picturesque little hotel in the Tyrolean Alps. She is an Englishwoman and a school teacher on holiday. As our curtain rises, we see her standing on a balcony outside the window of her room. The moonlight is kind to her. She looks very small and, without those ridiculously prim spectacles, quite youthful. On another window balcony a few feet away, the handsome proprietor appears. She does not see him until he speaks.
Fräulein Fanny.
Oh. Oh, you startled me.
I'm so sorry. I spoke very softly.
I didn't know that was your room.
It is not. Here is only a landing. The friend is asleep?
No, not yet, I think.
Then close the window. It is not kind to disturb her.
Oh, but I mustn't stay.
You are tired?
No, but...
Cold?
No.
Then stay a while. It is yet so early. Not 10 o'clock.
Why did you come?
Perhaps I, too, wish to say goodnight to the stars.
But you could have seen them from the garden or the road.
But they are specially nice ones here. Look, there's a... What do you call it in English?
A shooting star.
A shooting star. Did you wish?
Yes.
I do. Perhaps we wish the same wish. If we did, it will come true.
Oh, I don't suppose we did. And anyhow, mine won't come true. Oh, I do wish he'd just love the mountains as I do.
Now, I know we wish the same wish. Miss Fanny, why do you not stay here?
Edith won't hear of it. She's dying to go to Venice.
Then let her get to Venice. But you stay here.
Oh, I can't. You see, I don't earn very much money. She's helped me to pay for this holiday.
You mean you cannot afford to stay here? Will you not be our guest?
Oh, I couldn't. And besides, it isn't that so much. It's just that it would spoil things for her. And well, I can't do that. Not after she's been so good to me.
I see. It makes it difficult. I wish she could get just a little ill in the night. So that when she wake up, she say, I cannot go today.
Oh, but that is wicked. You mustn't wish that.
Oh, I do not mean anything bad. Just a little illness. Perhaps, she sprained her ankle.
What, in the night?
I know, it is not easy. Ah, Miss Fanny. I'm quite wicked. I do not care what happens to her, if only you stay. You are not like anyone who ever came here.
Oh, but I'm so ordinary.
Oh, no. There is a magic with you. When first you came this morning, I hardly saw you. Just a little brown lady with a quiet voice. But when you take the glasses off, oh, you are quite different. Someone, like someone in a fairy tale.
I'm too old to be in a fairy tale.
You will never be old. You are imprisoned in the spring. It is all around you. Can you not smell lilacs?
Lilacs in September?
Not real lilacs. It is the ghosts of lilac that I smell. In the spring, there is a big white bush under this window. You have bewitched it, and it blooms again.
I can almost see it. It must be wonderful here in the spring.
It is most marvelous. Fields and fields of flowers. And there.
Thank you.
dedicate this number in all sincerity to the composer, second of our two pianists, Al Evans, because the recent addition, the night before last, to the Evans family really makes him the father of a happy boy and a happy girl. The girl who is now in the 7-pound class at the name Beverly Diane. London Bridge introduces Tom Howard, veteran comedy star of Rain or Shine, the Greenwich Village Folly series, and numerous other review ventures. Back about 1925, as I recall it, the Follies had its out-of-town opening in New Haven. Among those present in the balcony was yours truly. I have always remembered one of Mr. Howard's comedy scenes from that show, and I've asked him to repeat it for us tonight. It has been used in many forms on the air. Mr. Howard, assisted by George Shelton, offers the original. Enter Tom Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute.
Who's going to make this announcement? You or me?
I am.
All right, go ahead.
Say, Tom, I thought I was to make this announcement.
Well, I didn't know you spoke English, George. I didn't know that. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will depart from the somewhat beaten and trodden path of humor.
Oh, boy, that's language. You know, that's language.
And turn to that of the more serious nature.
Yes, we will
submit for your approval a little grammar entitled No News.
You ain't going to tell jokes?
I will play the part of I owe a lot of money, a millionaire.
Who's a millionaire? Why can't I be the millionaire?
You wouldn't know how to handle so much money.
As
I said before, I will play the part.
You don't look like a millionaire to me, you know. You don't look like that. You look like an entomologist, you know?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
An entomologist is a collector of rare insects.
Yeah, I'm still right. Go ahead. I don't care. Go ahead.
I will still play the millionaire. Yeah. You can be my manservant.
Oh, I'm the servant.
Yes.
I do the dirty work.
You do the dirty work.
Go ahead.
The scene is a railway station. I'm leaving on a 3-month vacation. Curtain.
That's the first thing. Boy, there's a train.
Yeah, there's my train, Tom.
Well, gone away, boy.
Oh, gone away, yes.
Yeah, well.
Gone away for a 3-month vacation. Now, one thing you got to know, Tom.
What's that?
I don't want any words from anybody at all.
No, you're going to the mountains.
I'm going to the mountains. I'm going to
hermit. Hermit life.
Isolate myself.
Yeah,
I don't want any telegrams, letters, or anything at all.
Primitive life, you boy.
Primitive life.
I won't write to you.
No, don't write.
All right, go ahead.
You understand that,
don't you? Yeah, I understand. You have spoken, I have listened. I quote the words of Kipling.
I don't even want to hear from him.
You don't want to hear from Kipling. All right, I don't care.
And another thing, Tom.
Yeah?
Be sure and take good care of my dog, Rover.
I'll watch Rover. Oh, aboard! Well, so long, boys.
So long.
Bye-bye.
So long.
So long. That's nice talk for a millionaire. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of Scene 1. Scene 2 follows immediately. 3 months have elapsed since scene one and scene two. It's the same railroad station. The boss has just returned from his vacation in the wild. He is met at the station by yours truly.
Hello, Tom.
Boy, you got off that train before it stopped.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, I'm anxious to get home.
Well, you look good, boy.
Well, yeah. I feel fine.
Fine, great.
Yes,
everything...
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
That's great. Any news?
No news. Everything's in the same.
Isn't that marvelous?
Everything went around smoothly.
Well, yeah, that's marvelous to hear that. Yeah. Well, say, by the way, Tom.
Huh?
Where is my dog, Rover?
My
Great Dane, Rover.
Oh, the dog?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You did have a dog.
I had him for 8 years.
Huh?
I had him for 8 years.
Yeah, but you ain't got him no more. No.
What do you mean
he's
I have
dead.
Him?
He's dead.
Rover is dead?
Yeah, but outside that, there's no news. Everything's been about the same.
Rover is dead, but there's no news.
No, he died. Maybe I should have mentioned that.
You
said...
We should have mentioned
that. Yeah, maybe you're entitled to that.
How did Rover die?
Huh?
How did Rover die?
How did Rover die?
Yes.
Yeah, I told you he died.
You told me he died.
There must be a reason. How is that now? Oh, yeah, he died from eating burned horseflesh.
Burned horseflesh?
Yeah, Rover ate some burned horseflesh.
Where in the world would he get burned horseflesh?
That's something that puzzled us all. We couldn't imagine where he got the burned horseflesh.
That's it.
Except from the barn, when your barn burned down.
What do you mean? My barn going down?
Didn't I tell you that?
My barn going down with all my race horses in it?
Yeah, all the horses was burned.
Oh, my goodness. Don't.
And Rover must have been roving around the next morning, see? And he picked up some of the burned horse flesh and ate it, and he died. See? But outside that, everything's no news.
No news at all. I can
outside
see that.
A few rainstorms.
Oh, yeah, rainstorms.
Right, yeah.
My barn going down,
yeah,
my polar ponies,
yeah,
and the dog died.
Yeah.
There's no news.
No news.
How did the barn catch on fire?
What?
How did the barn catch on fire?
The barn? Oh, yeah, it was a windy night, you know.
And it caught on fire from a windy night?
No, you see how it happened was the spark flew over from your big house and lit on top of the barn, see?
The what? On you mean tell me my mansion is going down where I live?
Yeah, you don't live there now. No, that place burned down.
The mansion burned down?
The mansion burned down, the spark flew over on the barn, barn burnt and burnt the horses, the dogs come along, and and the green grass grew all around.
What's the green grass got to do with it? Mansion going down?
Yeah, your mansion.
How in the world could the mansion catch on fire?
Catch on fire?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I tell you how that happened.
Tell me that.
Yeah.
There's no news at all, huh?
No, but wait, it was such a trivial matter, I just...
Trivial?
Oh, yeah, I know how it caught a fire.
How to catch on fire?
The candles in the living room, you see?
Wait for a minute.
What?
Candles.
Yeah.
No candles in my house.
Oh, yeah.
Why, my house was thoroughly electrified, top to bottom.
Oh, no, not now. You ain't even got gas in it now. You ain't even got gas in it.
I know I have it now, but how...
You see the candles? They had the candles around the coffin of your mother-in-law, you know.
The coffin?
Yeah.
Who's dead?
Your mother-in-law died.
You don't mean tell me my mother-in-law is dead.
Well, if she ain't, they done her a dirty trick. They buried her.
My mother-in-law, a big, robust woman when I left home.
Yeah, but you ought to see her now. You wouldn't know her. A woman died.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a windy night, and the wind blew in the windows and blew the lace curtains over on the candles, and the candles caught and burned the house and the flock over to the barn, and the barn burnt the horses and the dogs, and the
green grass
grew
all
around.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Outside that, there's no news.
Oh, I can see that. There's no news at all. The mother-in-law died.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What killed her?
Your mother-in-law?
Yeah, what killed her?
Yeah.
From the electric?
No. The doctors couldn't figure out how it was that she died from shock. But I made up my mind to find out, you know.
Yeah, I could
tell
that.
One night when I was sitting in my room, I was thinking.
Just a minute. You were sitting in your room and the house burned down.
Yeah, but I moved. It got too hot for me. I moved. And I was thinking how she got the shock.
Yeah, how?
And I figured it out.
How did she get it?
On account of your wife.
What do you mean about account of my wife?
Your mother-in-law wouldn't have died.
My wife?
Yeah, your wife. Your wife. Yeah. You didn't know it?
Didn't know what?
Oh, didn't I tell you that? Your wife run away with a chauffeur.
Yeah. My wife run away with Simpson?
Yeah. I think they opened the pawn shop.
And
they ran away with a chauffeur. Oh. But outside of that, they took both cars with them.
Both cars?
Yeah, they towed one in the back. I remember the day they went. But outside of that, everything was
there. I can't understand why my wife should leave me.
I appreciate it. You treated her fine.
She's a marvelous.
The only thing I can figure of, your wife heard something. She heard about you.
Why, I've been faithful to her.
You
know that.
But she wouldn't have left you if he hadn't have found out you lost all your money in the stock market.
What?
Yeah.
No wife, no home, no money. Oh, there's nothing to live for. This is the end.
Jason, what's going on here?
The boss just shot himself.
Shot himself?
Yes. I was glad he did because I was beginning to run out of news.
love is the sweetest thing. What else on earth could ever bring such happiness to everything as love's old story? Love is the strangest thing. No song of birds upon the wing shall in our hearts more sweetly sing than love's old story. Whatever heart may desire, whatever faith may stand, this is a tale that never will part. This is a song without end. Love is the greatest thing, the oldest, yes, the latest thing. I only hope that fate may bring love's story to you.
Another Fleischman Key Star will reach you with a fine cast. The boys and I will see you at Steel Pier, Atlantic City. See you next Thursday. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.